Welcome back to Mad Hopper Podcast. I think we're on episode 5 or 6. I can't even remember.
It's
now.
Been a while.
It's been a while.
Did you guys miss us? It's March. I think the last one was in January.
Yeah, we were traveling around a bit in between family and travel and everything. It kind of got away for us. So we got a lot to catch up on, which is exciting.
I mean, we've been drinking beers.
We have been drinking. We've not been talking about them, but we've been drinking them. So
And remembering.
That's right.
So not that many.
Yes. So I think today, probably instead of a specific theme for the show, maybe we can just get caught up on what we've been drinking, what we've been looking at out there.
Seeing out there.
I'll kind of kick it off. I finally got to go down to Brewport. I have the best brother-in-law around, and we actually...
Well, I don't know about that.
he actually had tickets to go to the Sacred Heart hockey game. So before that, we went out to Brewport, which is a really cool place. I know you told me about it, and I didn't know how banging the pizza was, man.
Unbelievable.
It's,
and I don't mean this in a negative way to Brewport, but... When you have pizza as good as they have.
Yeah.
And good beer.
Yeah.
Nothing that's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You probably go there first to be like, let's try their beers. But you go back because you're like, dude, that pizza was so great. Good.
It's really cool. It comes in like the large pans, right? It's got like that thin
crust
feature.
Did you guys get a salad by any chance?
We did not get the salad. That is definitely, if you know anything about my brother-in-law, he does not eat anything green. So he ordered the pizzas. We actually, and listen, you might be like, what are you talking about? But we had the mashed potatoes pizza.
Yeah.
And it was actually really, really good. So we had that, the meat lovers, and we had a cheese. Cause,
how many people were there?
There were like four adults and two kids.
Okay.
We actually did a pretty good job on them.
They make gluten-free pizza there.
Oh, and did they really? Okay, yeah.
When I've been there with my wife and our family, you know, half of our family is gluten-free.
Yeah.
And their pizza is just out of this world.
Yeah.
I mean, I like really how thin good. It is, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like crackers.
It reminds me of, like, the 850 here in town where you can get that thin crust.
I'm not a fan of the doughy.
Exactly.
Doughy
we
pizza.
Both try to be healthy so that we can drink more beer.
Yeah.
So we have to go thin on the pizza.
I'm still whole 30 minus alcohol.
So we can drink our carbs. Are you really? Are you still?
Yeah,
you
been I've been pretty hardcore the food part.
Nice.
With exception, last weekend I was out in Hartford. Which
That's
I'll talk
right.
about because
yeah.
I
yeah, we
want
to hear what you were drinking.
I tasted the catalog of Hanging Hills beers.
Oh,
and
wow.
Hanging Hills, you can get a lot of the Hanging Hills around here, but the person that I'm, my buddy I was visiting, he's buying it at the brewery, which, again, how much different, who knows?
Yeah.
I have to believe it's fresher.
Yeah.
And they were good beers. They were good beers, readily available good beers, I think, is the... is the big thing about Hanging Hills. I got to look up. I know we had Metacomet. We had Stargazer. Isn't that by... Yeah, Stargazer, I think, is Hanging Hills.
No, because no? I had Stargazer
You
recently,
left one here.
And I left one here. That is... gosh, now we should know that.
Is that New Frontier? Is that the... Is that That's the... Yeah, that's the same company that
Connecticut
makes...
Connecticut Valley.
Yes.
It's Connecticut Valley.
The same people that make, like, the... New Frontier and with the
Thank
Red,
a Veteran was
with
the one I had.
And don't they make Trailblazer?
Is Connecticut Valley Trailblazer?
Pretty positive that's Trailblazer. Although I know that they were brewing out of Chabin for a while.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So I haven't had a lot of Chabin beers too, so we're going to have to come back to that one.
We
need to get organized and... yes, Trailblazer is Connecticut Valley. Yeah. We need to get organized, and we're going to do, when we get organized, a show per brewery, and we're going to walk
I'm
through
I'm on board
them.
With that. Like
we still, like, we're still, it's amazing. I think, and, you know, send us an email, correct us if we're wrong. I think there's 72 breweries in Connecticut, right? So we're still even just kind of getting situated with what all these are.
And the thing that all of you, all four of you wonderful listeners out there have to remember is, as much as we'd love this to be our jobs full time, we do have lives that we
That's correct.
That tend to get in the way of our hobbies, which this is one of the fact that we're both sitting here on a Saturday night quietly is very impressive.
Yeah.
And it all happened because babysitters fell through and
Yeah, and my wife has to run a race tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go.
No, so back real quick on Brewport. Awesome place. Love the style.
Did you do the walk? Did you do the walk?
We walked
the
around.
Loop, the loop of the
brewery. It was great. I was showing my son, just like, here's where it is, and this is how it's made.
Giant kettles.
And the giant kettles. It was so cool. Just a great vibe. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was pretty full. Lots of people coming in, hanging out. I ended up... So interesting. So Brewport has its own brewery, right? So it's brewing some of their beer. And dang it, I should have double checked that one. I definitely had one of theirs and now it's escaping me. I'll be honest, was it their brown ale? No, anything in brown, anything that has brown ale, I stay away from.
You see, now
I'm just not a brown ale fan. All
right. So I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to do an episode on brown ale.
Okay.
Because I don't reach for brown ales often.
Okay.
There are a couple that I put high up.
And Brewport is one.
I will say that out of all the Brewport beers I sampled, the one brown ale that they have, I'm going to look it up as we're talking.
Okay.
Was the one where I was like, I left there with a growler of it.
Interesting.
Because that was, but they're, I mean, yeah.
You know what it was? It was something innings. Was it 9 innings or 7th inning or 7 innings or something like that, I feel like.
That sounds...
And it might have something to do with the baseball diamond that's right across because it's really close to... Where the hockey team and the baseball team.
Yeah, they're right, but the hockey team is the...
It's the Webster Arena, but I forget the team.
Sound Tigers.
And the baseball team, which is actually a great thing to do. I'm definitely doing it again this
isn't
summer.
Isn't it a summer league?
Oh, yeah. But now the whole... So we were... And this is just classic Mad Hopper, us getting totally sidetracked. But that's part of...
Tangents are part of what we do.
It's what keeps us employed. The baseball diamond was totally destroyed. So we were there 2 weeks ago, and they were ripping it up, so I guess they're redoing it.
Seventh inning. Single IPA.
Yeah. So nothing spectacular. I mean, I might have ranked it like a 2.5, which in my book on a scale of 1 to 5 is I would drink it again, but nothing spectacular.
Barrett Brothers Brown.
So is that the one?
It's the one that I had. It's an English style brown, and I was like, this is really good. Super malty.
Yep.
A lot of like the chocolate notes, but not like stout level heavy, like brown ale level heavy. We're going to talk brown ales now because we've started.
The brown ales that
I'm going to put in front of you that I think are just good. Like, when do I drink brown ale? Yep. I love brown ale in the fall.
Yeah.
When it's just, you know, you go into the pumpkin patch. If you're not drinking, like, at pumpkin beer season.
Yeah, if you're not drinking the Mazins or the pumpkin ale.
Like, Oktoberfest and brown are the same season for me.
Yeah.
I'll have a brown ale in the winter, too. They're a little heavy for the summertime.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Brown. You talk about Brooklyn Summer.
Yeah, I love
Brooklyn Brown.
Is it really?
That could be my favorite brown ale.
Would a Copper Legend be considered a brown ale?
No, Copper
is
Legend is a Marzen.
That's a Marzen,
it's,
okay.
It's an October. Black Hogs Granola Nut Brown.
Ooh.
Great beer.
All right.
The names
even got me.
Granola. So I believe what obviously the name having to do with the beer is that some of the malt is created from granola.
Oh wow!
Within the brew,
interesting.
It's a thin beer.
Okay.
So it's not. If you're looking for like a robust brown nut brown, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah, it's not
gonna
the one
fill
you're
that. But
go for.
But flavor wise, it is great.
That's interesting. But, now, do they? Would you say so? You know, I was over, as you know, in London, back in the fall. Would you say a lot of their ales are considered brown ales? Because I. Kind of, or not necessarily, is that...
I mean, it's weird, because, like, the origin of cask beers...
Yeah,
like, if you've been down to Nod...
Yeah,
where they
so I haven't... We should chat about that.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
so
they released a cask recently.
They do it, like, once a week, where they'll take... And it's not in a pressurized keg. They literally...
Yeah, you gotta pump it, which in England, when we were traveling around to the pubs, that's what they were doing.
And it pours very similar to the way a nitrogen tap would pour.
Yeah.
So it pours out, like, if you're getting a darker beer, like a Guinness-colored stout or a dark brown, when they pump it, it looks like chocolate milk, and then it settles out kind of thing. I don't know if that is the quote-unquote English style that's going a step further in the knowledge of, like, the origin or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I mean, just the color and a little bit of the taste reminded me a little bit.
I have to believe that the English style is, they stay away from hops. They don't really hop the hell out of their beers.
Yep.
They're much more...
Which is interesting because the origin of IPA was the shipping of beer from
Europe.
From Europe.
But the thing that's funny about that is I don't know that the shipping... I think the whole discovery of IPA was an accident because... So how did they ship meat, for example? When they shipped meat, they covered it in salt.
Yeah.
But it's not like they ate it that way. Because the salt's premise was like, okay, we're going to get to the new land, then we can shave that crap off.
Right.
But it saved the inside underneath that, right?
Yeah.
So in the same regard, I feel like the hops were to protect, but one of the side effects was like, oh, it kind of steeped them a little bit, and now we have this, and it actually tastes really good.
That's interesting.
That seems logically where that came from, because if you go over there, you know, Boddington's Pub Ale, and Guinness, and Murphy's, and London Pride. I don't know if you had any London Pride.
We definitely had the London Pride.
London Pride in England, you could drink 35 of them.
Yeah.
They are just a very... I don't know if they're like the Bud Light of London or the Budweiser, but like...
Yeah, definitely the go-to.
If you talk about that backstreet pub from someone who's a local in a suburb of London that goes to the pub to watch soccer every Sunday.
Yeah.
They're drinking London Pride from like 10 in the morning until like
2. So it's funny because we were there for a week and the mate I was traveling with, at every place, and our goal was to try as many pubs as we could. So we literally walked around trying different pubs and he asked for an IPA at every single one. And they definitely had them, but you can tell that was not the go-to.
And I wonder if that's following the market.
It is. So
it has to be.
Chatting with the bartenders and they were saying, listen, you know, it's a very popular thing over in the States. It's becoming more popular here. So we have these IPAs. So it was funny. I wanted the real authentic cask ale. So anything that was being pumped out of, you know, that's what I wanted to try.
Like it's weird because the English beers that did have hops, you know, 15 years ago when I was drinking IPAs when there weren't nearly as many in the market, was you get like, I remember Hooker.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it's the Hook. It might be the same Hooker that's putting out No Filter today.
Okay.
But I feel, no, I'm sorry, it isn't Hooker. It's Red Hook. They're out of Seattle.
Okay.
And Red Hook had an ESB, which is an extra special bitter.
Hmm.
So that was a very English beer, right? So when you had beers, at least when I used to go over to England when I was a kid, I remember you had like your pub stouts, which were your Guinnesses. They weren't the heavy American high alcohol stout. Guinness is like 4%.
Oh, yeah.
People have this impression that Guinness is like so having a meal, and it's not.
It really
isn't. That's the biggest misconception of Guinness. You could drink 30 of them.
Yeah.
They're not heavy.
No, they're not.
Right? Especially when you compare them to a double IPA.
Yeah.
You can't. So the beers that they drank over there were either these beers that were like clear, like almost like lemonade, but just completely see-through, super light ales.
Yeah.
They were bitters. There wasn't even called extra special bitter. They were a bitter beer.
Bitter, yeah.
And they were stouts. That's so for a while you had, like Red Hook used to have a variety pack, and they had like their IPA, their red ale, their brown ale, and their ESB. And like you had a lot of breweries that had extra special bitters. And if you look up like archived beers on Beer Advocate, you'll see a lot of them and be like, wow, how come you don't see that anymore? The trend is gone.
It's gone.
I mean, yeah, you can still find them.
Yeah.
But you have to seek them out. And no one's seeking them out. So your selection for that, that's a very English approach. And I think brown ale in general is very English. But, you know, when you're talking England and you're talking, you know, even further, like your Germany and your Holland and all of these places that were like the birthplace of beer.
Yeah.
It's not hopped beer.
Yeah.
I mean, it has hops in it.
Yeah.
But it is a malt forward.
Yeah.
you know.
It's funny. Like, I think they just think we're nuts with all of our, like, New England style IPAs and big juicy IPAs and milk IPAs now. And it's just they're like these Americans. They're
bought a milkshake 4-pack for this podcast.
Really?
A milkshake IPA for just for the simple fact, like, all right, I only had it once.
Yeah.
Let me try it again.
We should definitely do a show on milkshake because I've only had it once as well. Again, like I said, I'm not a fan, but you know what? We've progressed a lot. I think palate is a progressive thing. Your taste can change. Once you start drinking, you know, we've drank a lot of kind of New England style IPAs now, and maybe we're ready for something different.
And I think that as much as I didn't like it, when you put, you can still appreciate it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you might not be, that's not your go-to.
Yeah.
But you can taste it and be like, wow, that's pretty
cool. I would be like that with a sour, where it's not my go-to, but I can appreciate the complexity of drinking a sour. So, like, I 100% understand that. Finishing off Brewport. So I had their, what was it, seventh inning. So that was theirs. It was fine. Was really excited to have my first Aspetuck Brew Lab. Turbidity Lucidity, or Lucidity Turbidity.
Every one of their beers is like an experimental too.
Yeah.
They don't bottle or can.
Right, which so you probably, chances, that so that's the thing that did kind of bum me out. Like the chances of getting it again, I guess, are slim, right?
Because you either go there.
Right.
And get a growler, or you're drinking it on tap somewhere.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I was super excited. And that's the other thing about Brewport, was it was great to see the selection of beer outside of their own that they
had. Yeah, I think like 25 taps, I want to say.
It was great. 15, it was phenomenal. There. So I had that because I definitely won. It was great. And I also, because I've been following them, was the Ghost Pigeon by Nebco, I believe.
That's a porter.
So, a porter, yes.
And
so I was really excited. Very, very drinkable porter. So some porters in my mind are either too molasses, you know, they taste too much like molasses.
Like syrupy.
They're too syrupy. They're too sweet. Like you can't drink a ton of them. What I found with Ghost Pigeon, if I can, you know, kind of, this will sound negative, but it's really not. It was like commercialized porter.
Okay.
Where this is a porter, you could pick up a 6-pack and like you could definitely drink it. You know,
not too dry.
Some of them just like right in line. I was just like, this is good. I could drink a handful of this.
Some of them, I porter's a weird one because there are some great porters out there, but I feel like if you're gonna eat, you can definitely. To hit that point for your particular taste,
yes,
is a wild card.
Yes.
Porter. Because some porters are syrupy and sweet. Some are really dry. Some, it's like, wow, is this smoked? They're very smoky.
Yeah.
Almost like, and again, not this is a dramatic explanation, but almost like your aftertaste is like, wow, I feel like I've been in a room where people have been smoking all night.
Yeah.
Like it's just got a strange build-up taste that you can't get away from.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I mean, smoked porter in and of itself is a whole nother style of beer. I mean, you can get... Captain Lawrence makes a smoked porter that I think, hands down, can go up against any smoked porter
really?
On the market. Yeah.
Wow. I would like to try that. I need to... That's another show we need to have and I want to explore. And I think we're still in the season to do that. We should probably do some more porters and kind of explore
I think
that.
We should... I think starting on the next podcast, which will hopefully be sooner than the distance between the two,
absolutely.
Maybe next week at some point, is I think we should, let's maybe try to do, okay, what style of beer?
Yeah. You know,
if we're always talking about how we're going to be drink these IPAs, these double IPAs, next week,
do a different
let's
style.
Bring some brown ales to the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll pick
let's
up a few.
Let's bring a 6-pack, buy like 3 or 4 singles.
Yep.
We'll split them all.
Agreed.
We'll taste it.
We should definitely do
that'll be the homework for Drew. Get some brown ales for next week.
Same here.
So Brewport, to wrap up your
last
original story.
Thing about Brewport was actually wasn't at Brewport. So it was actually at Webster Arena for the Sacred Heart hockey game. We found on tap a 29 Pews by Voracious
up in Monroe.
So I was excited to see a Voracious. We've chatted about it once or twice. hadn't had any of their beers. So Twin Oaks was
is
that their go to?
That's their
I think it was an American IPA.
Yep.
I'll be honest, not a fan. Now, only because it is more on the bitter side than I'm, so, you know.
It's more old school.
It's old school. It was an old school IPA. I think I grew up a little bit more on the New England style IPA, so that's what I tend to.
The juicy.
Like the juicier ones.
Your starting point.
Right. So it's tough for me to drink those. Like, but, you know, it is funny. Like, from time to time, I'll be like, I really want just a hoppy, just one that's got a bite, right? So if you're looking for that, 29 Pews is definitely that. But that's why I'm even, and we can go there, but like I'm not a huge beard fan because I feel like a lot of their IPAs are in that school as well, even though I know it's a great beer and we can chat about it because I know you had a handful of them as well and you had one last night at a local restaurant. But yeah, 29 Pew, it was like, you know, it was great. I definitely drank it. I can understand why people like it, but it was just not, that's not my style.
That is, you've summed up why I actually lean away from G-Bot.
Yeah. G-Bot's in the
G-Bot
same.
G-Bot is a great beer, except G-Bot is like a mouthful of pine needles.
Yes.
And it is piney, yeah, and resiny and is old school heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy IPA, but no juice.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
So, is the craze still big for G-Bot? I remember maybe 2-3 years ago, it was like getting your hands on G-Bot was a big deal.
So, G-Bot was much bigger when it was Gandhi-Bot.
Okay, yeah,
and
so
then,
why?
And then when they went
because it's the same beer, right?
We need to pull the relic out.
Oh, yes.
Try this relic beer that is completely
ripping
off.
Okay, all right, so time out. Let's talk a little bit about what we've drank so far. So do you want
to
introduce
we got a new beer to the podcast, and I feel like relatively new beer to the brewery. I'm okay, you're okay. It's a pale ale from Nod Hill. Dry hop with Citra and Simcoe. It's bright. It's 4.5%. It doesn't taste 4.5%. It's not super light in flavor, but it's not a heavy mouthfeel, and I feel like you can drink these all night long.
Yeah, that's a very, very drinkable craft beer.
My wife came home with this last night for me because she stopped by the brewery because they actually did a collaboration with a farm in town here, and they take the tree sap.
What farm was that?
The Hickories.
Hickories, yeah. That's right.
So the Hickories has maple trees and oak trees that put out sap.
Yeah.
They harvest the sap with some of the guys from the brewery, and they steep the sap, and they make what's called fresh cut seltzer. And it's non-alcoholic, and it's delicious.
Did you try it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's awesome.
That's
good. But it's not flavored. It's completely unflavored, but it's
got a hint of, like, syrup?
It's got a smoothness that over-the-counter seltzer doesn't have.
That's really interesting.
And it's fresh, and you can taste the freshness. So either way, she went down there, because I was like, Meg, we missed Fresh Cut last year.
Yeah.
Can you pick up a 4-pack? I'm curious.
Yeah.
And she came home with a 4-pack, I'm okay, you're okay, and Ace of Wands.
So I've got to pick that up because my wife's a huge seltzer fan, so I want to get her an impression on it. That being said, what I love about something like I'm okay, you're okay, a pale ale, is the craft, and we've chatted about this craft scene, like everyone's into craft beer, you want the complexity, you want the different flavors. But these IPAs sometimes can just be like, they're killing us, right?
They
want to have like a nice beer Friday afternoon. You know, I shoveled the driveway today. We had, 5 or 6 inches that fell last night. I was shoveling. I was just like, I want to have like a 2 o'clock, just kind of like a nice beer.
Just like
relax.
A beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be taking a nap after.
Yeah. I don't want to go.
So that's what I love about I'm Okay, You're Okay, is that it's a great beer.
Yeah. It's definitely a full-flavored beer that would work when you were mowing the lawn in the heat of the summer. It's a very drinkable beer.
Yep.
And then after that, I cracked a Lil Juicy, my first.
Yeah, Lil Juicy from Two Roads in the school of Juicy, right? Mm-hmm. Or Two Juicy.
It is, I guess, the younger brother of
younger
Two,
brother
Juicy.
Of Two Juicy.
And earlier tonight, I had Lil Heaven by them, which is obsession.
Yeah, but that's right. It would be interesting to do Lil Juicy next to Two Juicy, just to do a compare and contrast. But I like Juicy, full flavor, definitely juicy, hence the name.
It's heavy.
That's my one
complaint about Two Juicy.
Yeah. So, what'd you think about this?
Definitely lighter.
Yeah.
I'm kind of all over the place with the flavors I'm getting out of it. I can't.
Now we're drinking them kind of in, I don't know what you call this.
Collins glass.
Yeah. So, you know, they definitely warmed up. You know, in my mind, especially after drinking something that's as complex as like an I'm okay, you're okay, pale out of nod, you drink it too juicy. I like to put this in kind of the category of like almost drinking like a soda. I know it sounds crazy.
No, I got you.
But there's, it's not as complex, right? It just kind of goes down. It's got that juiciness.
It's definitely it's more smooth, carbonated.
It's that's, more carbonated. I felt that
as far as this is more... Pellegrino, whereas that's like straight seltzer.
Yeah,
it's got a not a rougher mouthfeel, but a more noticeable.
Yeah, what's beautiful about these is very easy to get your hands on. Right, just not like waiting around and I got to get this release and I got to go to the brewery. Little Juicy has great distribution. That's gonna be a great beer to drink over the summer.
Yeah,
go on vacation, you pick up.
I feel like you're seeing it more and more because when you had mentioned it a couple podcasts ago,
you didn't find it.
Not that I was looking for it.
Yeah,
but I walked into a liquor store on Friday night, and there was two cases of it sitting there. So I was like, all right, well, that's very different than...
I think Two Roots is going to get that out quite often. All right, so our third beer that we're going to drink right now, why don't you give us a little...
Give us a little
recap, and then tell us about your weekend, where you found this.
So I grabbed this beer right off the bat. It's by Relic. Relic is out of...
It's out of close to Hartford.
Branford,
Connecticut.
So they're down by, like... Who else is down there? Not Westbrook.
Is Beard down there?
No, Relic.
Stonington?
Yeah. They're all... There's a bunch right in that
Stubborn
area there.
Stubborn Beauty? Is that maybe down there?
No.
My Connecticut geography.
Yeah, I'm messing up my
all right.
So either way, it's Connecticut beer.
Yeah.
Relic.
What's their go-tos? I've definitely seen Relic. The
Leaf Storm. Leaf Storm is one.
Is that like their fall, I imagine?
They seem to put out double after double IPA.
Is that what they're doing? They just knock people out.
And the majority of the Relic beers, like Relic used to be available, I remember seeing like they had like Dark Horse IPA or something. It was in bottles, six-pack bottles. And you only saw one or two different kinds of Relic in bottles. That was it.
Interesting.
And the whole time, from what I've heard, is that they've had all of these great beers... You know, the Sorcerer. I can't even... They have so many funky names.
Hmm.
Witch Doctor.
Interesting.
Like, they have a lot of different ones. But apparently all these were always available to drink there.
Huh.
And then in the whole canning movement and whatnot, they were like, all right, let's just start putting some of these out. And then they just lit on fire.
That's crazy.
Now you see a different Relic. So I was in the store and I saw this can.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the can.
We'll post a picture of this on the Instagram. Because when you look at this, do a quick take of it, I was like, is that Burlington Beer Company Wizard?
Yeah, same. I said the same thing.
You said the same thing when you walked in here. Of course, I pick it up and I see Relic. And then I put it down and I'm looking at other stuff. And I kind of keep going back like, I'll try it. Like, you know, so I grabbed it. It's a double IPA. It is a big boy. It's 8.5%. I've never had it, so
nice.
I figured I would bring it to the podcast.
Here. Let's crack that up and give it a try. You know what other beer did that, had me do a double take? I actually picked it up because I thought, it was another beer. Is Happy Trees by Stubborn Beauty.
Yeah, they make like the Nummy Nummy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I haven't had Nummy Nummy.
Did you think it was a treehouse?
Yes! The can looked like treehouse. Yes. So I've got to believe there is something going on here that people are like...
As far as the visual connection to...
Even if it's in jest, like I kind of feel like
the colors of this are identical
to Wizard.
Same blue and everything.
And the only reason I know that is because you brought me that Wizard.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. So yeah, there's Leaf Storm there. The one next to it, that like dark one, the Orbital Elevator or whatever, that is a Burlington beer. And you just look at the font and the way that the patterns are.
Yeah, it's eerily close.
Yeah, you can see that they're
all right. Relic. So if anyone from Relic is listening, we want an explanation on this. It's funny because I see on your fridge. So Drew has his beer fridge and has got labels. Oh, yeah. Tell me. What you got going on there?
That is like melon. Hard melon.
Really?
It's bright. I mean, it's not bad. It's just it kind of catches you off guard.
Oh, so interesting nose here.
It's kind of...
See, I thought it was going to be super boozy, because it almost smells like one of those high alcohol, like, you know, like a wee heavy.
It's almost got like an oatmeal or like a cream of wheat, like, smell to it, which I find really interesting. All right, let's go in here.
It's a hard melon. Like, boom!
Wow! That's, bam! That is different. That is interesting. Yeah, it's like a ripe melon.
But what you're getting is you're getting that high sugary taste, which is the booze. That's it's just that they've masked it with.
So is this a double?
Yeah, and it's an 8.5.
Yeah, so you get that. Yeah, you get that double, but it's masked on the front.
On the with the fruit.
Yeah, which it's, is really
it's,
interesting.
It's mashed very well.
So what are they putting in there? Does it say what hops they have in there? I'd be really interested.
Let's open up the.
Let's ask Google.
Let's ask the Oracle.
Yes. Let's ask the Oracle of Google what's going on here. Double Indian. Yeah, it doesn't really say. That's interesting. I'll be interested to know what's going on there. But I was going to say, so Drew has his beer fridge here, and next to his Leaf Storm.
Plainville is where they're out of, by the way. Plainville is where Relic Brewing initially started. Either way.
You have Fiddlehead. Is that... the beer that my brother-in-law has for us, was it called Second Fiddle?
He's got Second Fiddle. Fiddlehead itself is their Fiddlehead Ale.
Okay.
Which is hands down my favorite beer that they put out. Second Fiddle, great beer.
This is up in Vermont talking, right? Fiddlehead up in Vermont.
The owner of Fiddlehead used to be the head brewer of Magic Hat.
Oh, and see, I love these stories of like these head brewers so spin off.
When Magic Hat kind of, I don't know too much detail, but the way it kind of seems to me is that a lot of Vermont businesses and people are very much like of the attitude, like take care of our own kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like we welcome the tourism. You're making money for us, but like at the end of the day, we're here for us.
Yeah.
You know, we're here for we want to protect Vermont, and that's why Vermont's so great. But I almost feel like the head brewer was like, man, it's selling out here. I'm getting out of here. Like, it was becoming too commercial for him.
That's a magic hat.
Yeah.
I would never even think to pick up a magic hat now.
And it's a shame because they have some good beers.
I bet you locally, too, if you pick up some stuff.
Or drinking it on tap there, it's probably amazing.
Yeah,
it
probably
But
is.
He left there, apparently, when they, you know, when they started getting...
Too commercial,
and he created Fiddlehead.
It's awesome.
Fiddlehead Ale is... Just plain Fiddlehead. It's just a regular IPA.
Yeah.
It is spectacular. Second Fiddle, great beer, but I put it in the same category.
Is that their double?
Yeah.
Is that what that is? Okay.
And I put it in the same category as Crusher for Alchemist, where it's good beer, but it's like, I don't want more than one of them.
Yeah.
It's just enough.
So my brother-in-law has some of that sitting there, as well as another Kent Falls, which we'll have to chat about, but All Alone. I think it's All Alone in the Middle of Nowhere from Kent Falls. So looking forward to chatting about that one in the podcast.
Fact Pattern is looking like the name of it, and I didn't find it on the Beer Advocate, which tells me it's either really new or...
Fact Pattern is the name of this
that's
one.
That's what I'm assuming. Here. Fact Pattern. Yeah, they don't have anything on Beer Advocate for it here, but let's just... it's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely good. It's one of those ones I think will knock your socks off if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's really
but it is tasty for sure.
So what else were you doing up there? Were you in Avon, you said?
We were in Avon. We were drinking I drank some Metacomet, Hanging Hills.
That's from Hanging Hills.
Yeah. Hanging Hills Brewing.
So a lot of the Connecticut breweries, and again, we have a few friends who are doing the Connecticut Brew Trail, and we want to have some of them on just to talk about it, because I know at least one that completed all 72.
Yeah, and they're definitely more knowledgeable than us as far as the...
Yeah,
the...
what's out there and what's going on. Now, that being said, I think a lot of the breweries tend to cluster around Hartford, right? Around kind
Hartford's
of
the, got a
the
ton
greater
of
Hartford area.
Well, yeah, and I mean, now Hartford, if you're considering around Hartford, you got to factor... I think it's more Hartford County.
Okay,
not
right,
necessarily
right,
Hartford,
necessarily
right?
City, yeah.
Because Nebco gets much better distribution out there than it does here.
Oh, interesting.
Now there,
you know, we see a lot of NEPCO, I feel like, here.
Yeah, but for a long time, seeing G-Bot, perfect example, yeah. when it was Gandhi-Bot,
yeah.
I could go into a liquor store in Avon
yeah.
and find tons of Gandhi-Bot.
Yeah, whereas
around
like
here, you find
like
a four-pack.
Four-pack I mean, limit was, or something.
Or
like
they'd
that.
Break it in singles.
I yeah.
mean, it was very difficult to find.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that.
So the Hanging Hills we were drinking, we drank some
wine. Now, why Hanging Hills? Can I ask, is that something your friend was into at the time?
So I think what ended up happening is, I think they have a really good location. As far as, that's my impression, that they have a really nice...
like set up, easy to,
yeah,
to drop
to go get some food, have some beers, and I think... being on a business lunch or maybe after work in that area, he had gone in there.
Yeah.
Had a couple of their beers, and because he's by it fairly frequently, it's just like the same reason we'll go to Nod and pick up beers.
It's just the convenience factor. So what's the Metacomet? Is that IPA? What's the
Metacomet is I believe it's a pale ale.
Oh, it's our pale ale.
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually no. Isn't India pale ale? Now you're making me question myself here.
All right. Well, we'll look it up. Yeah. What did you
Heartbeat is their double. Metacomet is an IPA.
Gotcha. What did you think about it?
Metacomet's a great beer.
It was good.
See, now here's the thing. It's a great beer in that it is readily available and it's always consistently good.
Yeah.
There's nothing unicorn about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Which
it'll never be a
nowadays.
Bright. It'll never be.
Those are more of the beers I'm going after.
Well, I think that's what we're trying to uncover with this show, right? Like, you don't have to wait in line 4 hours to pick up, right? These unicorn beers, like, there are great beers being brewed that are readily accessible. Maybe not readily accessible, like, at the liquor store in town, but, like, you know, you could take an hour drive and you could pick up a case of this stuff.
Yeah,
so,
that's where I'm at, is I would much rather...
Should we do, like, a sub-unicorn ranking? Like, should we, like, you know, like, obviously you've got Beer Advocate, and they're kind of ranking top beers.
Like, beer you don't have to wait in line for ranking?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying
like
to get
it.
At. Like, almost it. Like, okay, like... Like, yeah, we get, like, Treehouse is you know, has got great beers. And, you know, we get, like, a lot of these, you know, like, things that are, like, out there. But, like, what if we did a ranking of kind of, like, that second level? Of, like, what would we consider is, like the number one beer that, like, you don't have to wait in line for? Like, that could be
Let's
cool.
do a list. All right, so for next podcast, we're doing brown ales.
God, yeah.
Here's the next thing we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Between now and then.
Yeah.
Can you come up with 10 that are yours? Your 10? You can do 5 if you want.
All right, so here's my problem. Like, there's beer that I like. Mm-hmm. It's like the, do you watch the Oscars or, like, the Academy Awards and everything? Right. Neither do I, but let me give you an
sure
example.
Sure you don't, Brian. Sure you
So, I'll be perfectly honest. I think we watched 2 minutes, and that might be generous, of the Oscars. And as soon as they started with the political jokes, I'm just like, you know, what the fuck are we doing?
I remember
I just turned it off. I think we watched Netflix.
I had the Grammys on until, and this is nothing to do with politics, but
yeah.
until Michelle Obama walked out on stage. And
it's,
I was like,
it's
a fucking music show.
Like, I just feel like it's like political stunts, and it's just like,
yeah.
But my point is,
let's hear it.
That all of the movies that win the Oscars, like, I'm like, that's like a really shitty movie.
Or I haven't seen it.
I hate it. Right, or I hadn't seen it. Right? This is about an underwater monster that, like, falls in love with someone. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
And that's
like,
winning.
That's like, so, now listen, I'm smart enough to understand that, like, someone who is a professional at their craft will, like, notice something, will, like, understand something that's, like, that was really complex to pull off. Like, you made a movie about someone who lived underwater and fell in love with a human. Like, that's pretty fucking hard, right? Like, I get that.
Yeah, you succeeded in that.
Like, so if you
props
actually...
Props to you.
Right?
Like, good storyline.
So there's a part of me that, like, appreciates that and is like, okay, like, there are people who are much more knowledgeable on the film industry that are, like, voting on this stuff, right? And they were like, this is a great movie. So, like, I can understand that, right? So, but then, like, there should be, like, a People's Award or, like, you know, like, the mass, like, the Ordinary Joes.
Well,
like,
and that's what the People's Choice Awards.
And I even think that's, like, still not, like, 100%.
It's political.
Like, it's still all political. But, like, so I think there should be, like, a modern person, just, like, a Brenner. Like, I don't know.
See,
so my point is that, like, if we're going to rank these... how are we looking at it? Because like a brown ale will probably never fall within my top 10, even though you probably could have a stellar beer. So like, how do you put aside the individual bias?
So I think it's almost something that would be interesting to do, like whether you want to, what do you want to set up a timeline, like a quarterly five list.
So every quarter, we come back with the top five beers yeah. in Connecticut.
Yeah, because what's that going to force us to do, right? Maybe try new stuff?
We definitely have to try new stuff.
And I'm sure that out of the vast selection of new stuff you try, you're going to come across some that are like, wow, I was surprised. I really like that, right? Yeah. I have to go back to the Oscar stuff. I have to put in one thing here. My big bitch is this. If it's a remake of a movie...
Yeah.
If it's a remake of a movie,
yeah.
it shouldn't even be qualified.
Yeah.
It's already been made.
So there's one this year, right, that I think...
Like, and I mean, I was a big... The one movie I saw in completion that was that won stuff was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I didn't even see that one.
And being a Queen fan, I was like, hasn't been made before, right? Mm. Hasn't been made. It's not like Spider-Man or any of these others. If it's been made already... shouldn't qualify for an award.
Yeah.
It's already been done.
Yeah.
If you won awards back then, and you know it was a great movie back then, and now you, and it's not to take away from the people acting in the roles.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, this storyline stuff is where I have a big problem with that. and truth be told, I see 1% of movies a year. I don't go to the movies.
Yeah.
I don't. But... either or. Back to Hanging Hills.
Here. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We had some Mail Truck, which you can get in the store.
Mail Truck.
Mail Truck Pink Label.
American Pale Ale.
Great beer.
You guys were drinking some pale ales. All right. Oh, yeah. I like it.
We were drinking Mail Truck. We were drinking some YPAs, which was another pale ale. Mm-hmm. And then we had Irregular Heartbeat, which is a fairly new one.
That was a double.
Uh-huh. And we had...
I like how their website gives, like, the colors of the different beers, even though they're drawings.
It gives you an Heartbeat idea. And Metacomet. Those are the ones we drank. I think he had one that was called Flying Nuns, too, but that might have been a little bit older.
Out of all of them, any favorites there?
I like their YPA.
Really?
Yeah, their pale ale is I think it's great.
Huh. Nice.
Again... great because you can go there at any given point.
Right.
It's going to be consistent. You're going to be able to find it.
Yeah.
So they have quite a bit on tap there. They have their draft pours. They have.
Did you guys go out to the brewery while you're there?
No, we were on kid duty.
That's right. You were on daddy daycare.
And we tried a bunch of them, but it's not like we were drinking tons of each.
Yeah.
You know, the quantity of beer we tasted wasn't huge. It was more or less trying a bunch of different things.
That's cool. That's what's great about beer, though. Like, right? You can compare them side by side.
And it's funny because they have others. Like, they have Olfactory Pills by Two Roads there. They have
dry cider.
They have a couple, you know, guest spots.
Oh, nice.
It would appear. I've never been there.
Yeah.
But it looks like a really cool place to go.
That's fun.
So.
Cool.
That was my weekend. It was primarily, you know, I also brought a six pack of Narragansett out.
Okay. We talked a little bit about, not even IPA fatigue, just craft beer fatigue.
In
right?
Like heavy fatigue,
so
right?
So complex. I look at it as like wine drinkers where you're drinking all these different types of wines and you just want to go back to kind of like a table wine, right? Something that's like a little easier. You don't have to be thinking so much you're drinking.
Like a palate cleanser.
It's
like
a palate cleanser.
Like we were drinking these heavy beers, but then when we had dinner, I was like, I'm just going to have a Narragansett.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to try to throw.
Is that your go-to kind of palate
Narragansett
cleanser?
Is one of my
back on.
Let's be clear. I think anybody, if someone was like, you know what, my favorite beer is Bud Light, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
If you like it, it's not my bag, but that's okay. Narragansett and High Life are my two like
High Life.
If
no
I just
want
to if I just if I'm just
before.
Looking to have a beer that's not if I'm looking to drink a beer and I don't want to, you know, skew what I'm eating because I have such a hoppy beer or such a juicy beer, I'm going with a Narragansett.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And my 2 o'clock in the afternoon beer, if I'm going to have one on a weekend, is going to be like a Narragansett or something like that. Just a refresher.
That's nice. I probably would have said 6 months ago, a Bud Light, right? Like having a Bud Light in the fridge just to kind of like, you know, take the, you know, just very drinkable. we, you know, it was when my Saints were in the playoffs. I picked up an 18 pack or whatever, and I had a bunch of them, and it was just it was weird after kind of us, you know, experimenting with all of these craft beers to then pop a Bud Light. It was just they kind of tasted different. I will say that, and I don't currently have any in my fridge right now, but like a great kind of fallback palate cleanser beer. I think I've chatted about this. It's probably not the best example. Would be the Sam, like seasonal, whatever's in kind of season, because I feel like they're very kind of like they're not super complex, but
they're
like
they're macro produced, so they're super consistent.
They're super consistent. So having like a winter, a White Christmas, Cold Snap will be my go-to right now.
They're October. Going to their October is great.
Now, once we get into the summer, you know, I've chatted about this. The Brooklyn summer is just like it's like, you know, hands down my go-to beer in the summer. And then we're on the beach and stuff. I'll even get really, really girly and go for like a Bud Light Lime.
So like my summer is I'll do like the Dell's Shandy by Narragansett.
Yeah, yes. You introduced me a little bit into those Shandies.
So like the thing about if we're getting way ahead season wise here.
I know we're just jonesing for the summer here.
Yeah, I can't. You know, we're getting another 8 inches.
Is it 8 inches? That's insane.
They're getting like a foot in Litchfield County.
All right, so we need to pick up some beers and just like buckle down on Sunday night.
Good to
You're
go.
Good.
I'm good to go. You know,
I need to continue.
I might be entering bourbon level. If you get 8 inches, but I the Shandy game is a hard one because there's so many that are like Porch Rocker by Sam.
Yeah,
is you're drinking alcoholic Orangina. Yeah. I mean it's like soda.
Yeah,
and the reason I like the Dells, that's the only one I really like because it literally has. You get like the bitterness of the peel of the lemon in it.
Yeah.
Like it literally feels very, like somebody squeezed some lemon juice into it and that was it.
Yeah.
But that's my girly, and I don't even call it a girly beer. I love it.
Yeah.
Del Shandy is my summer go to.
That's great. All right, so we've got our work cut out for us. I think
so
we're coming
next week,
to the next pod with brown ales.
Brown ales right. And a list of five.
And a list, all right,
not waiting in line beers.
Yeah, what's
that
your,
are your go-tos?
List of five? Are we limiting it to Connecticut?
No.
Or,
here's what we're doing.
All right.
The rules of the list of five.
Yeah.
That's a segment. We just started a segment on the podcast. The list of five rules are this. You can't wait in a line to get this beer.
Yeah.
So even Nod Hill really wouldn't qualify for this because you have to go to the brewery sometimes for release.
Okay.
This is a non-brewery release.
Okay.
No waiting in line beer.
So, but does it have to be readily available at a local liquor store?
No. Okay. What I would say is a qualification that would make a beer eligible for the list would be such that if you were to walk into the store and you were to go, you know, I'm really looking for Wrench or I'm looking for Sip of Sunshine and they don't have what you're looking for, what's the one that you go, yeah, I'm always going to be okay with this one.
Yeah.
That's the beer I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, like, the Sea Hag.
Yeah.
That'll be one of my five. That is a go-to. Or the Flower Child by Cambridge.
Okay. I haven't had
that's
that.
That's a phenomenal IPA. You can always find it. Nobody pays attention to them.
Got
great
it.
Beer. So, that is your that's your only rules, really. No line waiting. No brewery release schedule.
Okay.
Just imagine going into the store with the intention, I'm looking for that Kent Falls. They don't have it, but you have no beer at the house.
Yeah.
What's going to be there that you know is going to be there?
Yeah.
That you're like, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
And we're not going to seasonally wait it, right? Like, can a Brooklyn Summer be one of mine or no?
When it is appropriate. Are you going to find Brooklyn Summer right now?
No.
No.
Right.
So that will qualify.
Got
in
it.
Time period, right?
Got it. So what can we find right now?
Exactly.
Right, I like it.
It's for the time period that the list is happening.
This is exciting.
So we're in March right now. I think the next list we're going to do is probably going to be like a May.
Okay.
Beginning, end of spring, beginning of summer turnover.
Yeah. All right. So we'll post these on the Instagram. We should get them up on the website because we do have a website. We don't publish it or anything, but I think having this ranking could be cool. All right. So we're going to do brown ales. So we should pick up a few brown ales.
You pick up a couple. Pick up a couple singles.
I'm going to do a little research and do a couple singles.
Or have fun with it. Yeah. Go to the store and say, I'm looking for some brown ales.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe we'll have some of the same, but that's all right.
I'm excited. And any of our listeners, if you've got brown ales on the mind. Like, you're like, hey, you've got to try this brown ale.
Yeah, your favorite.
Hit us up on Instagram, the Mad Hopper, or themadhopper@gmail.com. That's Mad with two D's. We want to hear about it, and we'll bring it to the show. Hopefully next week. Hopefully we won't have a month before we do the.
We won't have a month. It will be within the next 10 days.
The next 10 days, yes.
It'll be one per 10 days.
Come hell or high water or snow,
yeah.
We will do this show. I'm excited about this. So we got brown ales. We got our list of five. It's gonna be exciting.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
I like it.
All right, signing off.
Guys,
it was a great show. Have a great week, and we'll chat to you soon.
Yeah. Take care, guys.